Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. As always, I'm Shane Stetsony. He is Brent Smith. And Brent, the off-season is really over. We can say that the season has begun. You know, teams are already posting that they're taking off from their hometowns, headed down to Wheatland for the Show Me Off-Road shootout, the opening rounds. We're just both so darn excited to get back to it.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I know we both are, like you said, because we've been talking in the off season, and the months just keep on creeping in closer to the opener, and now we get to go back to Wheatland. I'm excited. The weather's going to be beautiful. I mean, the track's going to be in great shape for all the racers. I mean, you have local dirt track races on Saturday night that we're going to get to go and check out at that beautiful facility. I'm just glad to be back. I'm glad to watch off-road racing. And, man, to get to broadcast it again, Shane, we're going to have a ball of fun.
Can you believe this is year seven of Champ Off-Road, year seven of you and me working together?
It's unbelievable. It's so much fun. It just, when you're having fun, time flies by. And,
right. You
know, the race days are long and sometimes they're difficult. We're trying to get all the information we can. But at the same time, man, it's good to be back in the seat. It's good to be back with you. And I just think the more we work together, you see it. I mean, we just are that much more comfortable to gather up all the information that we have to give back out on flow and in person. And my excitement's over the roof. I cannot wait to fly out on Friday.
You know, we've told people this in person plenty of times, but, you know, for those of you fans who are maybe only watching on flow or only make it to a couple of races a year, I promise Brent and I are actually having that much fun all the time. We love this stuff.
Yeah, I love every minute of it. And the love of the sport is there. You can't tell us that we don't care about each and every driver, because just the feeling to be in the same facility as the best drivers in the world and get to watch them from our point of view, it's just over the top. I mean, 120% we give, and I feel all of our racers give back what we put in, and it makes it that much more special.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And in a few minutes here, we'll have a nice chat with Nolan Castellian, our broadcast teammate and our good friend. First, couple quick headlines. This is all stuff that has popped up since the last time we recorded, which was just a couple days ago. Another driver injury. Connor Berry is going to be sidelined for Wheatland. So Connor Berry not behind the wheel in ProLite. He's got Drake Matag filling in. You'll remember he raced one of our side-by-side classes a couple years ago here in Champ Off-Road. That's Doug Matag's brother. Drake, I think, is going to step in and get the job done for Connor, and I think he should be able to, you know, get that truck, that team out of Wheatland in a good spot in the points. What do you think?
Oh, I really think Drake's going to take off where Connor left off, just bad, fast behind the wheel. Drake's been doing a lot of iRacing, and there's a lot of justifications of what's real to not real. But, I mean, just being behind the seat of a car again, he's going to be excited, did some work in side-by-side. But now to get behind the truck, I think this is what he needs to show people. He needs to show people that, man, I can really drive, and get in a competitive truck and a great team behind him. He's going to get to show his driving skills. So, I mean, being the brother of Doug Matag, I'm sure Doug's going to be giving him pointers. And Drake probably is not even sleeping well this week. He's probably so excited to be there.
It's like a kid on Christmas Eve trying to sleep when you know that you have that opportunity in front of you, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all about the excitement. And that's what sometimes you have to step back. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time out of your family life. But when you get behind the wheel and that 10, 15, 20 minutes you get to drive, it throws everything, all the worries out the window. And I think you're going to see Drake do some great things in ProLite.
Some more news, more on the series side of things. A couple more partners have signed on to support Champ Off-Road for the 2026 season, one of those being CF Moto. They're becoming more and more competitive and more well-known manufacturer of ATVs, motorcycles, and now side-by-sides. And they actually, I think just under 2 years ago, they debuted their Z10 side-by-side, which is kind of their sport model. And, you know, I was doing a little homework on the CF Moto Z10, and it stacks up pretty comparatively to like an XP1000 or the Yamaha YXZ1000 platform. I'm wondering if we might be, you know, on the cusp of a new manufacturer stepping into motorsports.
I totally agree with you, Shane. And it's cool to see manufacturers, different ones, stepping in to the sport that we love. And off-road racing is a challenge, but we've seen it in the past and now into the future with Van Eprens and CJ Greaves, how they switch manufacturers, trying to get the best out of the performance that their ability to drive. But now that you bring in new equipment, new technology, it's only a matter of time before some of our top name drivers are going to try out these new products.
Another partner that has signed on to sponsor specifically the youth side-by-side class, ARD Racing. They provide a ton of performance parts for Can-Am, Polaris, and Yamaha side-by-side. So basically, almost all the manufacturers that we already do have racing in Champ Off-Road, they're going to be supporting the youth side-by-side class. And we'll talk a little bit with Nolan here in a little bit about how important those so-called stepping stone classes are to, you know, building up our future stars. So it's huge to have another partner supporting youth racing, just like we said with some of the other partners that we talked about back in the first episode.
Yeah, it seems like in this off season that it took some time, but you never say die attitude out of all of our media groups and Miranda and Carl and what it takes behind the scenes to get things together. And what they do is just so big behind the sport to keep things going. And then we have new sponsors that want to be a part of us. It's huge. Like now coming into the season, seeing these late blooming sponsors, this is cool. We have more eyes on the prize. That's why I look at it.
Yeah. And just like we talked about back in episode one, you know, it all points to a Champ Off-Road that is stable. You know, the stability has already been right there for 6 years and counting, but the future is, there's not a lot of murkiness to the future. Champ Off-Road is here to stay. Short course off-road racing is starting to gain some of the support back that we saw decades ago. And all signs point to, you know, a really bright future for our sport, not to mention all the youth drivers that, like I said, are the future stars of tomorrow.
Yeah, and I believe that, you know, it seemed like 4, 5, 6 years ago, even when Carl took over, there was such a big roller coaster with our sport and we didn't know where we were going, what it was going to take to make it better. And it just seems like Carl just keeps on digging deeper and deeper. And now he has it in his hands. It's here to stay. It's sunk in the rocks. It's stuck in the stones and he's going in the right direction. I feel just being around all the racers that you don't hear them trying to ask the what ifs, like, where's this going? How's it doing? They know that we're going to be back the following year and in the future. So it seems like you get that out of a lot of racers' heads. They can go and focus on other things rather than worrying about the series. It's here to stay. And I think it's going to create more visibility to our sport now that it's healthy.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, we're super grateful for all the partners here at Champ Off Road. Of course, Amsoil, you know, has been with us pretty much since day one. Brunt is back for 2026 as well as the presenting sponsor. And Amsoil, by the way, is also the sponsor of this podcast. And you can use the Amsoil Shop by Vehicle tool at amsoil.com. Takes all the guesswork out of picking the best oil and filter combination for your vehicle. And it's not just oil. They have a whole bunch of different specialty lubricants. You can choose the exact right product and packaging option for your needs and enjoy fast free delivery right to your door. Visit amsoil.com to learn more. Well, very excited to have now as our first guest of the 2026 season here on the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil, our good friend, our teammate, the man who comes in off the bench when one of us can't go, Nolan Castellian. Nolan, I appreciate you taking some time with us on the final week of the off season.
First guest of the year. I'm pretty honored. The guests can only go uphill from here.
it's a tradition at this point. You got to make your predictions and provide us the insight that only you have.
The predictions last year fell short, so I'm hoping to redeem myself a little bit this year.
Well, fortunately, this is, you know, the record of your predictions last year is only online forever, so no big deal.
Yeah, perfect.
No pressure. Hey, first off, Brent and I talked a little bit about this on the first episode, but, you know, you got to be at Glen Helen. It was a huge event. First off, I want to say, I've told you this already, and I want to say it publicly on the record to go on the internet forever. Man, you did a heck of a job calling those races out there. I appreciate you filling in for me when I couldn't make it. But, you know, talk about how great that event was and how much excitement the full head of steam that Champ Off-Road has now as we head into 2026.
Yeah, like excitement was the word for it. Like I've been telling everybody, and I told Brent that weekend even, like, it was just fun. Like, it was easy to call those races when they were that good and the crowd had that much energy. It was just super fun to do it. I mean, me and Brent looked like two guys hanging out in the garage. There's a couple of videos of us.
Yeah.
Watching big TV, hitting each other, laughing, yelling at each other, just a couple of goofballs watching races. So that was a good time. And like you said, it was a strong way to end that season and provide some good momentum and some hype now going into this season.
Yeah, Shane, like Nolan said, it was so much fun out west just to be in that different atmosphere. I mean, in the past, I got to broadcast it, but I felt like the energy was over the top, and I've never seen the fans like engage with our sport as much as we've seen at Glen Helen, and it created it. I mean, Nolan can say it best as well as I can. Like, it was night racing, and how much better to see the trucks and cars go that much quicker in our eyes.
And then in the off season, you actually were part of the Champ Off-Road team that went to PRI, right? So what was that experience like? And, you know, what was the reception among some people that you talked to down at the trade show? You know, what's the overall excitement level about short course off-road as a sport?
Yeah, this is the second year now I've gotten to do that with Champ, go down to PRI and hang out for the week. And that's a super fun event. It's good to see everybody in the winter. And that was kind of, you know, carrying that momentum off of Glen Helen still, it seemed like. Like, everyone was in a good mood. Everyone was excited about the sport, excited for the upcoming season. It seems like a lot of times in the off season, there's a lot of things to complain about if you're a racer. This season, it didn't seem that way. Everyone was pretty chipper at PRI and excited about the future, as am I.
Nolan, as we're getting ready to ramp up the, you know, light the fuse on 2026, looking back at last season as a whole, you know, those eight events, maybe not counting the Forest County Pottawatomie Community Cup finish, which I think was, broadly speaking, everybody's favorite moment of the year. Do you have a moment, a race, some drama, anything that stands out to you from last year as like a memory that you're going to hold on to forever?
Oh, man, that's tough. Glen Helen, we've been talking a lot about it already.
Yeah, yeah.
That was such a good experience. And I mean, so many good stories coming out of that, right? There were good championship battles coming in. I mean, the prospect points battle between Wyatt Miller and Chris Vanden Elzen was awesome, you know, to see Wyatt. Who knows what the future holds for that kid, but to have him win a short course championship was awesome. Keegan getting another Pro 2 championship, first one in a while. He set out on a mission to come back full-time and get one of those. CJ with a 10th Pro 4 championship. I mean, everything at Glen Helen made that a really memorable event.
How about you, Brent? I don't think I asked you that on the first episode of the podcast. What stands out about last year for you? Do you have a specific memory?
Man, other than our big race in the spring, I just feel like later in the season, we've seen so much great racing. I mean, with the weather the way it was at Bark River and still like got all the races in. I mean, we love Bark River, but you have to hands down how we wrapped up that season was just over the top. And I just hope that it gives us that much more energy coming into 2026 and we see our car counts go up. Sponsors a lot more better for our teams, and I don't know, to pick out a point, it just, all the racing was great, but the end of the year was just a good showing for what we needed.
Nolan, when it comes to sportsmen, drivers, and our youth classes, you've said that they're your people, and I think even our fans would agree that, you know, you have the finger on the pulse for sportsmen and youth racers coming into this year, and we'll dive into some of the drivers who are making moves among those classes, but just broadly speaking, like, how are you feeling the vibes are on the sportsman side of things coming into a new season?
I'm excited. It feels like you said, we'll get into a lot of the class shakeups, but I feel like a lot of people are moving up, moving on, doing different things, and that's exciting for me, right? Like, we had a few classes where drivers were pretty dominant last season, and we were given the what if or what happens when this person moves up, and we're going to see some of that this season. So I think it'll be a fresh coat of paint on some of the classes this year. Some of them might be a little bit wide open, and we'll see some of those people that were standouts in other classes move on and try their hand at something new this season.
Well, I think the point you just made is it probably makes this a great time to talk about light buggy. And I've even teased this on the first episode that light buggy on paper to me seems like a class that there's a good 8 drivers that I think could and will win a race this year. You know, the last 5 years, it's been the Schultz twins, you know, finally, much to the delight of everybody else, Connor Schultz is hanging it up as far as light buggy stuff goes. You've still got the defending champ, Greg Stingel, Joe Jorgensen, Evan Hockers, Tom Perryman, Jake Shillman, Dylan Roloff. They've all won races across the past 3 years. And then Jake Dischler, Aiden Wanasiga, Adam Heikkilä, and Eugene Renke Jr. were all on the podium at times last year. Out of that group of guys, how many do you think we might see win a race in light buggy this year. And what do you think this points battle is going to look like, if you could even make a prediction about it?
Yeah, realistically, I think everybody you just named could win a race. I've seen the last couple of years out of Aiden Wandasiga and Adam Heikkilä. You mentioned them both on the box last year. It seems like the consistency is starting to catch up to the speed a little bit at times for both of them. So I would expect to see more of them on the box this season. And as far as the championship hunt, I mean, it seems like my whole lifetime, Greg Stengel's kind of like the final boss of light buggy, right? So everyone's got to go through.
Great way to put it.
I think Evan Hockers can give him a run. Tom Perryman had some great runs last year and has a really good car. So I think the road to the championship runs through Stengel like always, but I think he'll have his work cut out for him for sure.
You could have said that on an episode of this podcast if it existed 15 years ago too, and still been right on the money, I think. What about you, Brent? How do you see this shaping up?
It's the truth, though. Every time we watch light buggy, it's like, okay, where's the old guy at? And here he comes at the end of the season. He's always there, top three. Winning the championship at that age is just over the top. But I love this class because it could turn into like a stock truck class at the end of the year. We could have five different winners in five different rounds. So that's my excitement. And we talked about this before, Shane. I don't care if you're in sixth or ninth or 11th place in this class, it's going to be tough to move through the field if you don't get a good start.
Not only that, but no matter where you are on the racetrack, you're battling with someone. That's, I think, my favorite part of that class. Yeah, I think, you know, light buggy, everybody knows that I'm a buggy dork, and light buggy has for a long time been one of my favorite classes. Another one that has been maybe my favorite sportsman class of the last 3 years is Modkart. Nolan, what can you tell us about what Modkart is shaping up to be this year? It looks like Lincoln Monsager is coming back to defend his title, but a couple other drivers maybe not racing full-time this year, and it kind of opens it up for the drivers who seem to be on the rise over the last year or so.
Yeah, like you, I love Modkart. I think that class develops better drivers than any other youth class we have. I mean, the power to weight ratio of those cars, plus shifting them, you're busy in there. If you can drive a mod cart, you can drive about anything. And we've seen that from some of the youth drivers that have moved up into the pro ranks and been really successful from that class. But like you said, kind of a couple names out. A name moving in, he won't be at Wheatland, but should be there the rest of the season. Drew Gerber's moving up from the 170 side-by-sides into a mod cart. He's really passionate about racing and wants to make it to the top of this sport. So I think he's got the drive to learn that car. It's a big jump from a 170 to get into a mod cart, but I think he'll be the newcomer to give those guys a run. And like you said, though, Monsager had a really strong season last year. I think he'll be the guy to beat once again.
Yeah, a couple other newcomers to that class. Moving in from other youth classes, Jacoby Tolberg, he was third in the points in short course cart last year. I believe he won't be at Wheatland with the new mod cart, but the rest of the year, and obviously the sportsmen get those two drop rounds, so he'll factor in some way to the championship chase. And then Grayson Arneson also going to be joining Modkart this year. That was a kid that lived in the top five and had a bunch of podiums last year in the 570s. So, yeah, some new blood. And I think, you know, Brent, you can back me up on this. The most fun part about following along year to year with the youth classes is just seeing drivers make such big leaps from 1 year to the next, right?
Absolutely, Shane. And that's what's crazy to watch, right? Back when we were kids, it's like, it didn't seem like there was that many opportunities. We have so many classes now where you can call it a stepping stone. But like Nolan said it best, if you can get a mod cart, you can advance to any class pretty much in the sportsman division and feel comfy. The speed's there. The power to weight ratio, like Nolan said, is there. I mean, you got to handle it and make sure you don't tip it upside down. So I feel if you can lock down in a mod cart, the coast is clear. We've seen the best in the business come out of that 15 years ago. I mean, RJ Anderson, I mean, Ricky Gutierrez, all those boys back in the day had their shot in Junior 2 carts or mod carts that got them where they are today, I believe. And it's just the opportunity they're getting. And we're going to see some of these guys and gals in Pro 2, Pro 4 someday. We might be 60, but it'll be there.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of, you know, top level pros that used to race some kart class, you know, through the mod carts or through some of the West Coast classes. Johnny Holcher, Ricky G, Jarrett Brooks. I mean, just tons of talent that's proven. I think it's really exciting. And I said this a few times last year, too, that this sport, this series is in a really good place for its future because we're right now at the very cutting edge of our homegrown kids stepping into pro classes like we saw over the last couple of years with Avery Hemmer, Draxton Schimmick, and the success they've had in Pro Spec, and you know, other drivers that seem to be right behind them. Right, Nolan?
Yeah, and like you guys alluded to there, it's really fun to go back and look the points from the West Coast mod cart classes from like 2015, 2016. There's some stacked names of guys that are all at the top level right now. So it'll be awesome in another 10 years, right? Imagine what our current youth group is going to look like 10 years from now in those classes. So it's super fun to watch that growth and development and see them become the next generation.
By the way, a couple mod cart kids that are former mod cart kids or current mod cart kids that are going to be making a pro debut at some point this year. You got Wes Vandevort and Lincoln Monsager, who we just talked about. They both have pro spec trucks, and it's expected that both of those drivers are going to make their pro debut this year. So again, that's another, you know, that infusion of seasoned, veteran, proven drivers moving towards the pros. It's here.
And that's another cool part about the pro spec class. It seems like every year that it's around, like, we find something else out that's awesome about having it around. It's been nothing but great since we introduced it. But it's also a really natural stepping stone out of a mod cart, it seems like, which we kind of didn't have before, right? Like, a Pro Light was the old gap, but it wasn't very similar. Now it seems like Pro Spec's a little bit more of a natural transition to the Pro Trucks. So that class has been awesome for that purpose as well.
Why don't we take a minute then to talk about the, I guess, the younger brother class of mod carts, the short course carts. Again, kind of the natural progression is those drivers will either age out or, you know, the talent level gets good enough where they want to make that jump into mod cart. I'm wondering, out of this short course cart class, the drivers that you've watched the last two seasons or so, do you see anybody in that class that seems like they're primed to take a big jump this year and compete for a championship? I'm thinking about maybe like Morgan Frakes, who got quite a bit faster from the start of last year to the end of last year. Maybe Jarrett Mullemans, who got that big win, first career off-road win at ERX. Any other names come to mind for you, Nolan?
Those two for sure. Frakes made some big jumps in a short amount of time. Mullemans got good in a hurry there. Like, it's so hard to pick one name out of that group because there's so many kids. You know, the progression happens really fast in that class because you come into it most of the time brand new and not having any experience. You're learning so quick against some really fast drivers, like you said, that maybe you're moving on to mod cart now. I feel like that's the class where you see the progression happen the quickest. So it's hard to say sometimes. You might have someone that was 10th in points last year, figure something out over the winter, and jump right into contention this season. So that's always a fun class for that reason.
Yeah, and there's also a couple really fun names coming in from the youth side-by-side classes. Liam Nicholas, who was on the podium a bunch in the 170s last year, and Miles Pakenham, who has won races in the 170s and also done really well in the 570s. That's, again, two more. It's funny to say veteran drivers when they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, but moving into an already really fun class.
Yeah, and like you said, accomplished drivers, right? Plenty of time on the podium last season, show a lot of good speed, show a lot of good racecraft in those classes, and I think that'll translate immediately into short course kart. I think they'll be contenders right away.
And as it stands right now, we're looking at 15-plus short course karts down in Wheatland. Do you remember the race last year, the round two race? It's like eight drivers, nose to tail, all battling for the win on the final lap. We had the Tullberg brothers take each other out and get penalized. Honestly, that's like my biggest memory of Wheatland last year. That was a fun one.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, when you asked if I remembered, I remember it, but don't ask the Tullberg brothers if they remember. That's no good.
Really tense family dinners, I'm sure, for a couple weeks.
Yeah, Brent might know something about situations like that, right, buddy?
Oh, absolutely, dude. It happens, right? Never dies when you go against your brother or your sibling. It always creates havoc. You always want to win, but I guarantee the family members weren't too happy all weekend.
But you and I, the three of us, we know that, Brent, if you were battling Brock on the final lap for a position, you wouldn't hesitate to put a fender on him, right?
Yeah, we can fix his truck. Right?
I know you guys mix it up in iRacing and getting arguments about that.
Yeah, I can't imagine in real life. We have done it. I remember when my brother rolled me at Antigo one year on the back straightaway, and he told my dad that he hit the brakes too early. So that's what the excuse was, but we had to fix it all night. So I feel the tension between siblings, but that's what we love about it. And when you have 13 other cars, including those brothers, it's going to be a wild one.
Well, a couple more classes I want to talk about, and kind of similar to the short course cart to mod cart pipeline, we see a lot of movement from the youth side-by-side, the full-size car class, through sportsman and into pro-am. Sportsman side-by-side, three of the top six drivers, Code St. Peter, Carson Hill, and Hudson Houle, all headed up to pro-am. And then in their place, you got a couple drivers who were really fast in youth side-by-side last year. Logan Fritzinger, who won, I think, like 7 or 8 races. Isaac Otto was second in the points. And then Raymond Deininger, who had 8 wins in the 570s. They're all moving into sportsman side-by-side. So full-size cars, full-speed cars. How do you think that crop of rookies is going to do against some of the more veteran guys, Nolan?
Raymond stands out to me there. That's a big jump, skipping right over the full-size.
Sure.
Youth cars, right, going right into sportsman. But he's shown us, you know, since he started racing, he's got that racecraft. He's done well every stop he's had on the way. Maybe a little bit more of a learning curve this time with the full speed, but I think he'll get there. Fritzinger, I think, will do really well. Once again, like you mentioned, he was the guy to beat last year in youth side-by-side. And there's kind of always a stayover crop in that sportsman side-by-side class, though, that are tough to beat. So it's not like you're going to be able to move right in there as one young kids and be on top right away, I don't think, but they'll work their way there throughout the season.
I can tell you, though, these kids that are coming in are getting fast. You know, when I was in sportsman side-by-side at Crandon last year, I remember I got to race against Carson Hill for position for about 5 seconds, and then I never saw him again. I don't know how these young kids are getting so fast. I've told Brent this story, but, you know, I had Kyle Cooper spotting for me, and at one point, he's like, hey, there's nobody behind you, just, you know, run your laps. And then he said, all right, you got one coming in on you, clear by 10. And then the next corner, it was clear by 5. And then he's like, you got a car inside. And I'm like, who caught me this fast that was behind me? Because it's not like I was, you know, laying it down. And I glanced to my left in Argonne corner, and I could see the front plastics. And I'm like, oh, that's Carson Hill. I'm like, I'll just get out of your way. I got to look at his rear bumper for about 10 seconds and then never saw him again.
It is remarkable the speed that, you know, Carson was one of them, but Code St. Peter, notably, who you mentioned moving up a class this year, so much speed and, you know, racecraft to go with it. I've been mentioning a lot here. That's kind of the thing with these kids classes is you can be fast, but can you control it? And these kids somehow are able to put the whole package together already at 12, 13 years old, whatever they are. So yeah, really impressive. I don't know. It seemed a lot of these fast side-by-side kids seem to be coming from down south. So I don't know what's in the water down there, but they can drive.
It's crazy.
Maybe that they can get seat time in February when our guys up here can't.
Yeah, it's crazy though, Coach St. Peter. You watch Carson Hill, how much seat time they get in that offseason. And I'm telling you, it does help out tremendously. And either you have it or you don't. And a lot of these drivers that are performing week in and week out, I mean, you rarely see them break down these top 3-4 drivers. It's going to be a showdown. You put Code St. Peter and Carson Hill, Hudson Hewell getting a lot better. I mean, Fritzinger, he's dominated his whole life in anything he's got into. So we look for big things in these side-by-side divisions. And again, I don't think Code St. Peter is going to stop in the side-by-sides.
Yeah, those names you mentioned, Brent, Code St. Peter, Carson Hill, Hudson Hewell, they're all moving up to Pro-Am for this year, along with Lucas Emling, who had some really good runs in sportsman side-by-side last year. And Nolan, that's another class where there's a ton of turnover. Lucas Hewell, Bill Berger, they were second and third in the points. Cody Jones and Ben Heiding, they're all going to pro stock. That's 4 drivers that were in the top 10 in points. And then Braden Kearns, who was 4th in the points last year, is taking a year off. So again, a ton of opportunity for new drivers to take the mantle and be competitive. But I think it in that class, Pro-Am side-by-side, it still kind of runs through the defending champ, right, Matt Borschinger?
Yeah, Borschinger's going to be tough to beat. It's interesting, like you mentioned, though, this is one of those years where it seems like the side-by-side ladder shifted all at once, right? A lot of sportsmen Pro-Am, a lot of Pro-Am guys up to Pro Stock. I think Borschinger will be the guy to beat, but I do think Code St. Peter is going to continue to be as good as he was last year and definitely give him a run for that red plate.
Yeah, and St. Peter, by the way, is in a brand-new car built by the Greaves team, so if the kid needed any more help getting a little bit faster, he found it.
Yeah, the rest of the competition didn't want to see him get into even better equipment than he was already in, but that's what happened. And I think he's going to continue to impress us this season.
Real quickly, we'll touch on the 2 sportsman truck classes, stock truck and super stock truck. Stock truck looks to be another really competitive class. I think we're right at about 10 entries for Wheatland and expecting a couple more to filter in throughout the year. And then super stock, pretty much all the same heavy hitters minus Braden Boshaw, who's moving to pro spec. How do you think those 2 classes are going to shape up this year?
Stock truck has been insanely competitive the last couple of seasons. kind of came out of nowhere and surprised us, right? But that class has been a lot of fun. A lot of guys, new faces coming into the class and being really fast. Dustin Rogacheski had an awesome year last season. When Colt Wurzba straps into a stock truck and pulls double duty, he's always a contender. That'll be a really fun class, like it has been for the last few. Super competitive. And super stock truck is super stock truck, right?
Right.
That's everybody's favorite class. Never know what's going to happen. Nick Bing pulling off a dramatic championship in the last round last season. Didn't even know he won it. He was sitting on the infield broke and got told he won it. So he's obviously oftentimes the guy to beat, but plenty of other contenders that, you know, show up on any given weekend. You can run eighth in that class one weekend and show up the next and be on the podium both days. So if there's two unpredictable classes, but you know they're going to be fun no matter what, it's those two.
You know both of those classes really well, Brent, having raced both of them. Do you have any predictions or maybe any drivers that we should look out for in those two?
Man, I don't know who's going to tame Nick Bing in Wheatland. Remember when he tried to put a set of wings on his truck and fly over that tabletop? That was outstanding, and still controlling your truck. And it's very technical for these stock truck drivers to get in and out of that infield and make sure you don't loop it out or hit one of those big tractor tires. So it's going to be very competitive. Like, I know Rogacheski is going to be tough to beat. He's going to be fast this year, as well as Piot. I mean, you know him. He's all the way on the gas, full throttle, no matter where he's at. So, I mean, I'm excited. You know I love this sport, and I love the trucks. I love the buggies. But, I mean, stock truck, super stock truck, you never know who's going to win. And I think that's what brings so much excitement to you and I and Nolan, because it gives us an opportunity to talk about different drivers all the time.
Heavy metal, baby.
Absolutely.
Talking about Nick Bing, you know, clearing the Brunt Booter, the huge tabletop at Wheatland last year, you know, whenever that truck was being designed and there was a team of engineers somewhere deep in the bowels of a building in Detroit working for Ford, there's no way they could have predicted that the F-150 they were designing was ever going to do that, right?
Hey, they're stock components. You know that.
Well, let's change gears a little bit, fellas. I want to break down the track a little bit at Wheatland. You know, obviously, before last year, I think Brent was the only one of the three of us who had been there in person and seen live racing on that track. But now with a weekend of Champ Off-Road specific racing under our belt there from a year ago, Brent, why don't you go first? You're the racer out of the three of us. Tell us how you go fast at Wheatland. How do you win a race at Wheatland?
Man, you just got to be smooth and fast, right? You have to hit your marks. You can screw up one corner just like any other track, and it can take you out of the whole race, right? You can lose multiple seconds in that infield section. From what I got to watch throughout my years is, don't overshoot that big tabletop so you screw up your turn going off the next table before the whoops. I mean, just keep your car straight and always be moving forward. I think the least amount of mistakes is going to win you the race.
Yeah, and I think limiting mistakes and trying to steer clear of chaos.
Right.
I think a lot of what we saw last year, especially Pro Spec, Pro Light, Pro 2, and Pro 4, that track, while it is a little on the bigger side and it's a very flowy track, once you get into that interior section, really tight corners, not a ton of space at all. And Nolan, we saw a lot of physical racing and even some drama and some hurt feelings in some of the pro classes last year, right?
Yeah, I was going to point to that same section, that real technical spot towards the back half of a lap in there. You can't get offline through there. There's that whoop section that Adrian had that little mishap through in Pro 4 one of the days. That thing kicks a truck around, and if that happens, someone's going to shoot to your inside, and there's not really room for two trucks in those hairpins right after. The Pro 2 race on Saturday got physical, or some upset drivers. That's the section of that track I point to is a spot where things can go wrong for somebody in a hurry.
But where do they go, though, right, Nolan? Like, I mean, Shane, you know, too, like, when you're down in that infield section before the finish line turn, like, you watched Ryan Beat try to muscle Keegan Kincaid through there, and there just was no room. You almost got to push somebody out of the way to get that spot.
What's the saying? The only way around is through sometimes?
Yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to. And, I mean, we see that on our other tight tracks at Antigo and at Dirt City Motorplex, where sometimes to make a pass, you just have to throw an elbow a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's just the nature of the beast with those tighter tracks. You know, there's not the room and the big banked corners. Wheatland has a couple of them, but, you know, Crandon and Bark River, you have these wide tracks with big banking. You can run different lines and get runs. When it's these tight, flat corners, you either got to wait for a mistake or create a guy's mistake yourself.
Yeah, get out front early, or make sure you put yourself in position in qualifying where you don't have to be in that chaos. That's the way I look at it. And a lot of guys, they don't qualify well, but they race well. So it's just the demon you got to get through in Champ Off Road. It's not going to be easy.
And I think the fans like a physical style of racing anyways. I know that I'm, you know, as years have gone on, I tend to favor the tighter tracks a little bit more just for that reason anyways. I don't want to see dirty racing. I don't think anybody does, but you know, it's a little bit spicier when you're laying a fender on a guy to get by him.
Yeah, and all we have to point to for proof of that's what fans like to see is that cup race we alluded to. There was not a whole lot of clean racing going on in that Community Cup highlight reel, but there were sure a lot of views on it for the contact that there was.
Right. So
that's what the fans like. Sometimes that's what's got to happen.
Well, with that, Nolan, let's give the people what they want. They expect that you're going to come armed with some predictions this year, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Some on the sportsman side, some on the pro side. Probably the hardest one first, at least as a sportsman racing goes. Give me a prediction for Light Buggy. What do you got?
Ooh, I think Jake Shulman pulls through and wins the championship, but I also think we see more than 6 different winners in that class. I'll give you 2 predictions for that one.
I'll co-sign on both of those. Jake would have been my pick also. What about you, Brent? Whole bunch of guys that just feel like they could break out, and in a class like that, you win 2 or 3 races. That might be all it takes. Who do you got?
Yeah, I love your guys' pick with Shulman. He's very strong. He knows what he's doing behind the wheel of a Light Buggy. But, I mean, I got to go with the black horse. I believe, I mean, it would be Aiden Wanasega. He's put it in the top 3 multiple times. He's a local boy in my eyes. He's been trying really, really hard. Now that he gets more seat time not sharing with his sister, I know what it's like to share that seat time. I think it'll make him a better, more aware of a driver out on the track. And I think you're going to see big things. But Shulman's going to be dominant no matter what you think.
I like that pick too. I think Wanasega is going to make some big strides this season.
The other, I guess, people's favorite, the people's champ, Super Stock Truck. Brent, let's start with you. You were a former race winner in Super Stock. You know, obviously, like we said, one of the heavy hitters, Braden Boshaw, has moved on, but you still got Corey Holcher, you still got Scott Belanger, you still got Nick Bing. Is it going to be down to those 3 drivers?
Yeah, I believe, yeah, we're going to see 4 or 5 trucks that are going to be dominant every weekend. And I cannot hold back on Scott Belanger, just what he's done in the past to get where he's at, go through all those gremlins, go through the big crashes, and still right. Build this old truck into what it is now. It's just a rocket ship. Brad Barglin's another one that is not afraid to go fast. I think if he calms down just a little bit, he's going to be one to watch in the top 3 multiple times. I mean, you said it. Best Corey Holcher, he's very comfortable, and at any given time it's going to be who can keep the wheels on it and who can be smart throughout the whole 20 minutes of that race. And it's not an easy task. There's a lot of great talent, but how do you count out Nick Bing as well? But Scott Belanger would be my pick.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that one. I think if Belanger could keep it together for a whole season and not have any huge incidents like he seems to have one of every year, he's the easy favorite to give Nick a run for the championship. Like you said, Brent, deeper in the field, I think there's guys, Brad Barglin's one of them. I think Matt Pyburn's another one. Guys that show a lot of speed on some weekends. I think they're going to be moving to that next level and being a little bit more consistent and up towards the front all year this year.
Yeah, I think both you guys hit the nail on the head. And one other name that we can't count out is Colt Wersba, who you talked about in Stock Truck.
Yes.
He got a whole heck of a lot faster in Super Stock Truck from 2024 to 2025. I think, you know, he has as good a chance as any of those drivers to factor into that championship hunt.
Yeah, and that's the kind of jump I'm expecting to see out of those guys, like I mentioned with Barglin. And, you know, we saw Colt kind of set the standard for that, right? Making that huge lead. I think they're going to do the same thing. And yeah, Colt's been a consistent podium threat really now in both trucks. So that's been awesome.
Moving on to the pro side of things, Nolan, we'll start with you. I think the most intriguing, deepest class among the pro truck classes this year is pro spec. How do you make heads or tails of all the talent in that class, all the drivers who were competing for wins last year? You got Chris Vanden Ellsen back in a brand new truck. You got Nick Visser back in a brand new truck, but it's Thriller Wyatt Miller with the target on his back. Do you think he can hold off that pack of dogs and double down on pro spec championships?
It's going to be tough. I mean, like you said, that class was stacked last season and it got even deeper with a lot of new guys moving up into it. Chris and Nick were both competitive with really old former Pro Light chassis. Now they both have brand new Pro Spec chassis, purpose built from good builders. They're going to take another step forward. I think Dylan Parsons is going to get over that red plate curse a little bit and kind of rebound. You know, he had that great season a couple years ago. struggled at times last year. I think they've worked hard this offseason to make some strides to get back.
What about the other young kids, though? You got Draxton Schimmick, who making that jump from 570s up to pro spec, you would never think that he would be so fast and so competitive right away, but surprised the heck out of all of us. And then you've also got, you know, Avery Hemmer, another really fast teenager in that class, who, by the way, already has a championship this year from Amsoil Championship Snowcross in the pro women's division. Those two young kids are going to be just as fast as, well, the other young kid, Wyatt Miller, and everybody else, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing with that class is, like, where do you go? There's so many different ways, you know, the championship could go. And I guess the way I look at it, do I still think Wyatt's the guy to beat? Yes, because he was only, what, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah.
And it was only his full season in off-road racing last year. So there's still more growth to be had out of him still, right? So I think Wyatt is the guy to beat. I think he's going to have a lot harder challenge this season. I think the guys that were nipping at his heels last season are going to be a whole lot closer this year.
And what do you say about that, Brent? You got the, like we said, the crop of young kids who are already proven to be ridiculously fast. You got, you know, the guys that we call the old guys who are admittedly younger than us. I think all of them are. How do you make sense of that points battle, and who's your pick for the Pro Spec Championship?
Man, I said to follow up behind Nolan, what you said it perfect, right? I mean, there's so many guys in that class that can win at any given time, and gals. I mean, Avery Hemmer showing what she can do on any given weekend. I mean, Ronald Casiza, he's always been right there in the top five. He put it up on the podium multiple times. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now you throw Braden Bosha in the mix, and I think he'll be one to watch. It might take him some time, but the driving ability is there. But Vandenels are getting a new truck, Visser a new truck, and like you said about Parsons, I mean, I can't put one on it. I'd have to say 2-3. I'd say Wyatt Miller, Parsons, Vandenels, and Visser, like, all the time going to be right there. I mean, and like you said, Schimmick, he's been fast, and so don't put that on me.
I'm going to make a really soft prediction here and be a little vague, but I think one of the old guys takes it over the kids this year. I think they're going to score one for, you know, those of us who are old enough to go buy a 12-pack of beer.
Shane's looking for a steak dinner here.
You know, the teenagers can't buy me a beer, but the old heads can, right?
Right.
It's a practical choice for me. A little bit more, or a little less on topic. Brent and I were talking about Keegan making the choice to run the number one for 2026. What are your thoughts on that? It seems to not work out well for, it seems to be a curse of sorts.
I'm taking credit for that happening. I was with Keegan and Bob Nash last fall, and they were kind of joking about it. I feel like I kind of twisted his arm. His Pro Light Championship and his other Pro 2 Championships, he stuck with his number and a red plate a couple of years ago when CJ ran the one plate in Pro 4 just that one time. I kind of twisted his arm into that. I like the one plate. I don't know, for guys like that that have won multiple championships, run it once, you know? At least say you ran it once in your career. Like you said, sometimes it doesn't work out. Seems to be a curse, but there's been other guys. Ricky Johnson and Bryce Menzies back in the day both ran the one plate and two-peated and three-peated, so I don't think it's always a curse, you know? There's always fun to have the superstitions, right? And we can point to that, but it's still Keegan holding the steering wheel no matter what number is on
right.
That truck.
But you are now on the record saying that it's your fault if it is a curse to him.
Yeah, I'll take credit, good or bad, on that one. Yep.
One more pro class that I think they're all going to be really fun. You know, Pro Buggy is going to be fantastic. Pro Side-by-Side is going to be a really good time. Pro Light, Pro 2, and Pro 4 I think are going to be really good points races, especially, you know, the classes that CJ races where he's not going to be there for the first two weekends and has Kyle Greaves stepping in Pro 4 and Robert Loire stepping in the two side-by-side classes. But Pro Stock specifically, I think, is set up to be a really intriguing season. Brent and I talked on the first episode that the drop-off from CJ to Robert Loire driving is virtually none. Robert Loire is as fast as anybody who gets behind the wheel of a side-by-side. But you've got David Gay, who's definitely, it took him most of last year to get comfortable in pro stock, but he was as fast as anybody. Jeb Boodle, Colin Truitt, Cross Kirchmeyer, Jake Kosmecki, and a handful of other drivers who all seem to be capable of running up front and finding some consistency too. How do you see the pro stock class shaking out here in 2026?
Yeah, that's another one. Like you just said, the names go on and on and on of guys that can podium and winning that class. That one was always fun the last couple of years to look at practice and qualifying times. I mean, the whole field is within
right
a half a second of each other. I mean, one mistake and you're at the back of that deal. But David Gay is one that I'd point to. Like you said, it took him a little bit to get his feet under him in the new class, but he still finished second in points last year. So the second half of the season, he had it under control. Jeb Boodle is super fast. You know, if he can mix a little bit more consistency in with it, he's got the potential to have an Owen Van Eppern-like season, right? Like what we saw at Owen last year. And I'm excited to see Robert Loire and CJ's cars. Robert was always fast in his own stuff that he had to fix if he went over his head a little bit. You know, now he can kind of just show up, and I'm sure CJ told him, drive it like you stole it. And I'm excited to see that version of Robert Loire.
Yeah, I agree totally with you, Nolan. I mean, it's a deep, heavy field, but you can't count out Loire when you're in that great of equipment. But David Gay, it seems like if that car stays together, he doesn't get any carnage involved in his race. He seems to be the guy to beat. He has that confidence. And Kirchmeyer as well. I mean, they love being out there, but they want to win. They don't care if they're against CJ, Loire, Truett, whoever. They want to win that race each and every time. And I love the drive all those drivers have.
You know, I think we haven't seen the best out of David Gay yet. I'm not ready to crown him the champion here in 2026 or make him my prediction, but I think everybody else in pro stock should be really scared looking back at what David Gay did his full year in Pro-Am, how dominant he was in that class. Again, it seemed like once he figures out the differences in the car that he's driving and gets his feet under him a little bit, his racecraft is virtually unmatched, I think, and he's going to be really tough to beat. Nolan, this is always a fun one that we've asked you previous years. Out of the pro classes that we didn't talk about, do you have a dark horse pick? I think last year you picked Ricky G to surprise everybody in Pro 2. Do you have a dark horse pick from the pro ranks for this year?
I feel like I always pick Ricky G, and he always has the speed to do it, but just never a whole season long, and I feel like I jinx him, so I'm not going to pick Ricky G. I'm going to stay in Pro 2, though. The new Mikey Vandenhoevel-built Pro 2 that Johnny Holter has been showing videos of him testing looks really, really, really good. And John's been super competitive the last couple of years in a truck that's about as old as he is. So I'm into the latest and greatest from Mikey, who knows how to build a truck and how to set one up. I think John's going to be a serious threat in Pro 2 this year.
Brent, what about you? One dark horse from the pro ranks.
The guy that gets a lot of credit, we always call him a crazy man behind the wheel, but if he can calm down again, I think Adrian Chenny could put down some good wins. I mean, he keeps getting brand new trucks, great equipment. He's been around a long, long time, but we've seen some really comfortable drives out of Chenny. If he can get out front, it's hard to catch him.
I like that pick. You know me, I'll sign off on success for Adrian Chenny anytime. My dark horse title contender pick for 2026, I'm going to Pro Buggy, and I'm going to pick Tony Kiepers. I think starting, you know, he kind of came into form throughout last year, still getting used to driving a Pro Buggy. So I think there's a lot more in the tank there. He's a proven winner in the other buggy classes. He was really fast in light buggy, really fast in 1600. We've seen how that success translate out of, you know, Billy Booth, how fast he's been competing for championships. I think Tony Kiepers is going to be that guy to make a jump here in 2026.
I like it.
That, and I'm just trying to represent for us guys from Forest County.
I was going to say, I heard a little bit of a homer take there, but I like it.
Hey, you shouted out Drew Gerber before. It's only fair, right?
That's right. Stick with our own.
All right, we'll get one more prediction here from you, Nolan. Pro Rookie of the Year.
Pro Rookie of the Year. Let me think who's moving up into something new.
I mean, you got Lucas Houle, Cody Jones, Ben Heiting, Braden Boshaw.
Yeah, let me go Ben Heiting on that. I've liked the speed that Ben's shown in every class he's been in. He was really strong in the Pro-Am Turbo car last year. I think focusing on one car will help him. You know, he was juggling a lot of stuff last year. I like it. Pro stock.
Brent, how about you?
Pro Rookie of the Year. I mean, you guys were picking your favorites from local. I mean,
there you go.
I wanna say that Braden Boshaw in Pro Spec will probably put some great runs together where he'll gather up the points he needs to take that Pro Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think those are both great picks, and probably would have been my 1A and 1B. So, you know, you guys beat me to the punch a little bit there. Anything else, Nolan, any other predictions or anything that you're going to keep your eye on as we head to the opener at the Show Me Off-Road Shootout?
I think the big thing on my mind, and maybe everyone else's this year, I want to get your guys' take on it. We've seen CJ Greaves win 10 Pro 4 championships in the last 11 years, and he's going to be out a couple weekends this season, but have a formidable backup driver. Do you guys think KGB holds the fort down enough those couple of weekends that CJ wins an 11th title, or do we have a new Pro 4 champion this year?
Brent, I'll let you go first.
I don't think that it's going to be any different putting Kyle Greaves in that truck, just the seat time he already has. Now he's stepping into a CJ chassis. I mean, yeah, granted, Johnny has the same similar truck, but I think CJ can coach him a little bit better in his own ride, and I think they're not going to lose a heartbeat. I have to agree with you. It's hard to count out CJ Greaves, and I was just dissecting that you're trying to figure out the formula, how he's going to come back and make a different outlook as a champion, and I think he's got my pick 120%. I think he'll be back sooner than we think.
All right, I'll take the contrarian view then. I'm going to say that this is the year for Jimi Henderson. We know that the amount of innovation that him and Trad do year over year is always just astounding. He's going to come back with a truck that works even better, that allows him to be even more confident. And we know how competitive he is. The grind for him to get to his first win in Pro 4 was, you know, long and an arduous journey for him. But the competitive fire is there, and I think he's really, really tired of looking up toward the mountaintop and seeing CJ standing up there. I think this is Henderson's year to get the job done.
I agree that this is his best opportunity, but I think the catch for that to happen, he's going to have to come out in those weekends that CJ is gone and drive like a dominant Pro 4 champion. I mean, the door is open. CJ won't be there at Wheatland. Mamer won't be there. Anderson won't be there. Jimmy needs to take advantage of those weekends that he's gone, build up a lead. Because if Kyle can even stay somewhat close in points, we know what CJ does when he gets back. So I think Jimmy can do it, but Jimmy's got to be show the dominance of a Pro 4 champion early in the year if he wants to get it this year.
Hey, this time of year, it's all about the opportunity in front of all of our drivers, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what makes it so exciting, right? Jimmy Henderson sitting here listening to us talk on the podcast. You know, he wants to prove us wrong like Shane does, right? But CJ Greaves, just the history he has and what he's done, it's just another obstacle or a hurdle that he's going to have to go against, but he's ready for it. It's cool to see him still excited for the season to open and to get ready and watch drivers for him try to perform and keep him in that points race. But Jimmy Henderson, if he can dominate like he did at the end of the year, I think if he takes off with Trad being behind him in his pocket all the time, they're never done innovating any performance of any vehicle they build. And that's what's so cool is you never know what you're going to see next in Pro 4.
Well, Nolan, before we completely wrap things up here on this episode of the podcast, one more question. So it'll be Wednesday morning when this podcast is out. You got a couple days to prepare for this. Friday, the welcome back party, the season kickoff party, going off at the Diamond Bar at Lucas Oil Speedway. I heard there's karaoke. What are you going to be singing for us?
I'll take requests. What do you want to hear?
Here we go.
You know, I think us as a trio should be our spiritual theme song. It should be Higher by Creed.
Yeah, I think I might hear that enough in my ears. I've been on a Bob Seger lately. If we if the Diamond Bar party goes good Friday night, throw me up there some Bob Seger karaoke and we'll see what happens.
Shane, we're staying late, buddy. We're staying late.
What are you thinking? Night moves?
As a candidate, Night Moves is a candidate.
You'll be working on your night moves at the Diamond Bar.
Yeah, mark it down.
Well, hey, man, we very much appreciate you spending some time with us. And I think I can speak for Brent when I say we can't wait to catch up with you at the racetrack and look forward to another great season of working with you. And we appreciate all that you do.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. We'll see you boys in a few days. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, thanks, Nolan, man. It's been a pleasure. We can't wait to get to work.
Yep, me neither, guys. I'm excited for it.
All right, Brent, that's enough of us talking about being excited for the season. It's time for the season to officially begin. You know, as of the release of this podcast, we're just 2 days until we have cars and trucks on the dirt at Wheatland. What are you most looking forward to about getting back to it? We've kind of touched on this a couple times already, but, you know, what have you missed about off-road racing this long off season?
What I've missed, Shane, is just the friends and family of our sport, just the people that we're close with, and just being in the same arena and the same facility as some of the best drivers in the world. Not only that, are good friends, and to hear their stories and to be back in the swing of things. That's my favorite part, is just being in the vicinity of where we want to be. And it's not only where the announcers, we'd be there no matter what.
I don't think I could have said that any better. I'm just excited to see, you know, so many people that you and I consider to be, you know, not just good friends, but, you know, truly family. Seeing the same people over these last 6 years and counting several weekends a year like we do, you know, there's a lot of people that I miss that I haven't seen, you know, in my case since World Championship weekend, in your case since, you know, the Glen Helen Off-Road National last year. So I'm right with you. I'm excited to see all of our people and, you know, revel in this great sport that we all share.
I was just going to say, Shane, it's just going to be amazing to be back with all our friends, family, and to see some horsepower and to start and kick off the season. It's going to be a long one, but a fun one.
Quick peek at the weather for this weekend in Wheatland. No rain Friday, Saturday, or Sunday is predicted. So yes, that is great news for the drivers. You know, you remember we started with a little bit of rain on Saturday morning a season ago. So as of now, and again, we're amateur meteorologists, but no rain in the forecast for the entirety, both practice and qualifying, and both opening rounds. Temperatures on Saturday, mid-60s, mid-70s on Sunday. So for us Midwest dogs, it's going to feel, you know, super hot. It's going to be pretty good weather, though, and I can't wait to get to it. If you can't be there, we sure hope you can. We sure hope you can make the trip over to Wheatland. But as always, you can find us live streaming every minute of the action on Flow Racing. And, man, just can't wait to get there. Excited. But that is all we have for you on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. He's Brent. I'm Shane. You will hear from us calling live racing action very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.
Hey, Shane, is this the barbecue place track we go to?
Oh, yeah.